remember, those words are true. No lesson learned except by a few. The purpose of our lives, like dust to dawn, where crosses stand long after we've gone. A year gone by, our windows, hopes, and prayers. Such pure destruction. unfaithfulness of the king of Israel, the unfaithfulness of the leader, King Ahab, at that time. In the midst of this dire situation for the whole land, God sends the prophet Elijah, who is usually a hermit, staying to himself. But God sends Elijah out to find a woman who will feed him in this time of hunger. And where does God send Elijah? Not to a rich woman who has stores of extra food. That would make sense. But to a woman who is perhaps in the most desperate situation of all. She is a widow, which in that ancient society meant that she was utterly vulnerable, without someone to protect her and provide for her. And she has a child to feed as well. And she has truly lost all hope. She is down to the last bit of food that she has, after rationing for days, no doubt. So when the prophet Elijah appears, she is getting ready to start a fire to cook up the last little bit of bread. A last supper, a final meal before she and her son die of starvation. And into this completely desperate situation where hope is lost and they are in utter despair, God sends her another mouth to feed. Their culture dictates that she must offer hospitality. She gets the water, but when he asks for bread, the truth comes pouring out. She reveals her desperation and despair. And in that encounter of hunger and desperate need, God reveals what really matters. Both the prophet and the woman and the child are fed. They are all given new hope in the midst of despair. For God cares for the weakest, the poorest, the most vulnerable, first and foremost. And in a twist that reveals God's true priorities, the prophet is fed by the poorest in the land, even as they themselves are saved from starvation. Many of us here have faced deep disappointment after the events of this past week, perhaps, or for other reasons. Many of us are fearful about what the next few years will hold, especially for those who are most vulnerable in American society as well as our own, for women whose rights are being eroded, for immigrants and especially refugees, and for other vulnerable people. And in our own communities, in our own nation, we worry about the most vulnerable who face housing crisis, the cost of living, and fear for the earth and collapsing ecosystems. Many of us live with struggles and fears and grief in our lives. says, nothing will ever change. It's different than anger or sadness or grief. Despair is twinged with hopelessness. I'm questioning the value of my work. I'm wondering if courage, kindness, and caring for each other simply don't matter anymore. The research shows that hope is a powerful antidote for despair. What's interesting, however, is that hope is not an emotion. Hope is a cognitive behavioral process. It's a choice we make to act. It's about having a goal, a pathway to achieve that goal, and a sense of agency, or I can do this. Right now, the thing that is helping the most is microdosing hope. I have no access to big hope right now. However, I am asking myself how I can support the people around me, the people in my team, in my community. How can I make sure that in the maelstrom of my emotions, I stay committed to courage, kindness, and caring for others, regardless of the choices made by others? Doing the smallest next right thing is hard as hell, but sometimes it's all we have. In the midst of fear and despair, when hope is fading, we can make a choice to act in hope. We can create hope. We must. In each small act of hope, we can do the next good thing that we can do. And in doing that, we make hope for others and ourselves. Parker Palmer, the Quaker teacher and spiritual guide, says that hope is holding a creative tension between what is and what could or should be. Each day doing something to narrow the distance between the two.